This is the Faith Debate, a theological roundtable gabfest with the Mix Master as the master of ceremonies and the notorious Triple B, the big bridge builder. Can we build it? Yes, we can. The Faith Debate is a free-for-all forum.
Hoo-ah!
Where faith community leaders wrestle over the truth.
Yabba-dabba-doo.
In less than 30 minutes, learn more about what really matters than others learn in a month.
Ooh, how convenient.
Are you ready for a clash of ideas? Are you ready for the sound of freedom?
Let's get ready to rumble!
Let's get ready to rumble.
Ha! Yeah!
In this corner, weighing in with a Master of Divinity from Reformed Theological Seminary, the Faith Debate Master of Ceremonies, Troy Skinner.
You got a moron here, is that it?
And in this corner, weighing in as a pastor, teacher, and founder of Bridges, connecting needs and resources in the local community.
Ooh, mama.
The notorious Big Bridge Builder, John Switzer.
Now, I'm just getting warmed up.
There's a movement within the church gaining influence in recent decades. This movement has gained power in recent years and has finally come to a pivot point for the life of Christ's church within the past, dozen or two dozen months or so. It is a theological liberalism appearing to win the day, even in traditionally conservative enclaves like the Presbyterian Church of America, the Lutheran Missouri Synod, the Evangelical Free Church, the Southern Baptist Convention. James Pittman is the pastor of a Southern Baptist church in the western suburbs of Chicago, and he, along with his congregation, almost left the SBC, the Southern Baptist Convention, last year. What happened? And why? We begin to shed light on those questions today. If you missed it, you got all the background and expository kind of stuff, exposition kind of stuff, last week on the show. So back for the second week in a row now is Pastor James L. Pittman, Jr., pastor of New Hope Community Church in Palatine. Thank you for being with us again this week, Pastor.
Thank you for having me.
So take us back in time, when the nuggets of doubt, I was going to say take us back in time about a year or so, but take us back when the thought entered your mind that there was trouble afoot and you needed to be thinking about it.
So the reason how I even got into this realm, because confession, I when you pastor a church, sometimes you just get bogged down in what's happening in your church, right?
Yeah.
So many things to do. It seems like, I don't know how you guys are, but it seems like you've never caught up. You always didn't have time for that last phone call or whatever. So I was so bogged down in this church here, and the things that was going on around it. Big thing that I was involved in since the end of 2015 was when President Obama used Title IX to start putting transgender kids in bathrooms of the opposite sex. And so that was my battle here in my context since 2015. A younger minister of mine said, James, you need to get out and battle ideas, because it's no longer door to door. It's on social media. Now, myself, I don't like social media. I know how to turn on a computer. But I was brought to the table kicking and screaming. So when I start looking at social media, okay, I didn't know who, and I don't necessarily say the names, but big names that I've heard about, I didn't know who they were. Didn't really understand it. But then I started to look about a year ago around this time. I'm starting to look at what's going on in the Southern Baptist Convention. And I run across the president of the Southern Baptist. He was the president back then. He's the current president now, J.D. Greer. And I'm saying, who is this guy that the Southern Baptist has elected? And so his videos, because we started a YouTube channel. I said all that to say we started a YouTube channel in order to begin to put more conservative, biblically based ideas out on in the social media realm. And then I run across this, the president, J.D. Greer, and I'm saying, is this really the president of the Southern Baptist Convention? And then I started to there's a lot of things out there on YouTube I didn't know. And I'm finding these things,
yeah.
And I'm saying, wow, the Southern Baptist obviously has shifted way left than what I had realized. And at that point, my congregation and I, we became very, very alarmed at where it seemed like the Southern Baptist Convention had drifted.
Now, did your congregation, did they notice it too, or you noticed it and then brought it to their attention?
I could say more so I noticed it.
Yeah, I didn't know now, if they were already on social media ahead of you on that, and they were thinking,
some were,
finally,
yes.
Pastor, I was wondering when you were going to notice.
Some were.
And so what were some of those issues that were the leftist issues where you were like, wow, I wouldn't have expected that from the Southern Baptist Convention?
Well, it was the issue of critical race theory.
Mm.
All right.
Mm.
Matt Chandler, who's very popular, gave a talk at the MLK 50.
Mm.
And I believe it was that talk that prompted John MacArthur and his group to respond with their statement, in which Vody Bachum got involved and whatnot. And so then I saw Al Mohler got involved. And then that's when J.D. Greer came along, and I'm saying, whoa, this is the president of the Southern Baptist Convention? And so it was literally the critical race theory in which, it would take some time to unpack, but critical theory comes out first. I think someone said, my research, Mr. Bell is the father of critical race theory, in which you now have the oppressors and the oppressed. And the critical race theory was thrown out in the secular world and not like, and it has. At the time, though, I'm saying, whoa, people in the church are embracing this. And so, yes, it was the critical race theory now that people were embracing that John MacArthur and his group started to push back. And then in that, watching that exchange, then J.D. Greer pops up, oh, I did not know this. And and so it was the critical race theory
I probably should get out my old baseball cards here and lay them out for the uninitiated. So yeah. I'm gonna, because you threw out
some
a bunch of
names.
Stuff, some
yeah.
big names,
yeah.
but big names to us, but maybe not to everybody who's hearing our voices right now. So, MLK 50, that was 2 years ago, I think, right when they did Wasn't it 2 years ago?
Tell you exactly when that was.
Coming up on 2 years ago. It was like,
right? Yeah, I think you're right. No, I think you're right.
I mean, I don't know the exact number of months, but anyway, whatever. It's more than a year ago. I know that. Matt Chandler was one of the speakers at the MLK. Now, first of all, I guess I got to give more exposition on this. There was some controversy about them having an MLK 50 celebration, if you will, anyway, because Martin Luther King Jr., a brave warrior on social issues and a peaceful man, a peaceful protest, and had some unbelievably brilliant and inspiring oratory. But those who know about his theology, you know, many would label him a heretic and at the very least questionable. And so why would they have a conference celebrating this guy?
Was
very controversial.
It was exactly just over 2 years ago, April 2018.
2018,
okay.
Correct.
Okay, yeah.
Yep.
So Matt Chandler, he's a very high profile. He's part of the big evangelical, like pop culture, you know, celebrity pastor crew.
Yep.
He pastors a pretty big church outside of Dallas, or maybe it's inside of near Dallas, Texas. And he was one of the speakers, and he was particularly noteworthy because during his presentation, he kind of guilt shamed white people and basically advocated for tokenism by saying that if they were going to bring an associate pastor into the church. He and they were grading him on a scale of 1 to 10. If he had two men and one of them was a 7 and the other was an 8, but the man who was a 7 was black, they'd hire the black 7. Now, if he was a black 6, they might have been like, okay, that's much of a difference. So we'll go with the white 8. But if they're not even quite as good as the white guy, now that is, I'm not black, but I'm offended for all black people. I mean, that's tokenism is offensive. And so that caught a lot of people's attention. And so the statement you talked about, some people call it the Dallas statement, the statement on social justice, John MacArthur and some other big names like Vody Bachum and people like that were behind the writing of that statement. And they put that out. And you can, to this day, you can go online, you can Google Dallas statement on social justice, and you can add your name to those who are electronic, you know, signers of that document if you want. And then you also mentioned Al Mohler. Al Mohler is a very well-known political and social commentator. He's the president of Southern Baptist Seminary, right? Am I correct?
And it is the flagship seminary.
The flagship seminary.
Supposedly within the Southern Baptist
And community. Rumor has it that he is kind of in line or in running or at least desires to be the next president of the convention replacing J.D. Greer. At least that's what there's been talk about.
Yeah, what I was reading is that Al seems to be the keep things the same candidate, the status quo candidate. Yeah, but that he's running for president of SBC.
So that those are all the players in the background. I just wanted to get our listener caught up to what we're talking about. And so Matt Chandler says something that was offensive to a lot of people, and yet not offensive to most, it didn't seem. And you are one among those who took note, like, wait, why did Chandler say that? Why didn't more people speak out against it? Why aren't more people jumping on board with this Dallas statement on social justice? What's going on? Who is this J.D. Greer guy anyway? And so now that if that took place in 2018, you obviously were stewing on this and thinking about it and doing your research for at least a year, year and a half before you made your announcement, correct?
No. Yes. So it wasn't necessarily Matt Chandler. It was now you get these Southern Baptist players getting involved, such as Al Mohler and now J.D. Greer. So that's what directly affected myself and the congregation. The knowledge that these men had adopted this. So Matt Chandler, he's in Dallas, let his people deal with it. And with some of them, I mean, he called some people who are white who disagree with him. He says he called them fools in that speech there. It started to affect us when the big players in the Southern Baptist Convention started to jump on board. And so that's what got us, if you want to say, stirred up.
And wasn't there a proposition that was voted in by the convention that
Prop 9, I believe,
Prop
right?
9 that said that critical race theory was legitimate language.
It's an analytical tool and legitimate for analysis.
Yeah, that was 2019. That was a year after the MLK.
Yep.
Correct.
A little over a year ago now.
And so that's the point at which you're saying, Pastor James, that you were like, whoa, this is a little bit too much.
Yeah, that's to put it kindly.
Okay.
That's the way we put it.
Yeah.
And so we did some videos on my sister Times the station in which we started to chronicle the statements that are now coming out. And if you start to embrace critical race theory, which I believe is Marxist in its origin, you necessarily now this is what happened, and now I'm starting to see a trend with a lot of Christians who are trying to embrace this. You have to start going soft on sin. And I had a meeting this morning with two of my leaders. We actually did a podcast that's coming out soon in that when you embrace this, you start to redefine what sin is. You start to redefine what repentance looks like. And it literally starts to evolve into a different gospel. It really does. And so, I think people who are trying to embrace it, they're at different levels. But if you take it to its logical conclusion, it is a different gospel because now I believe it was John Harris who did his talk, who did a video in which some people at Southeastern were saying Jesus did not die for the individual. He died for systems. That is a different gospel. And so when you start to do your research and you start to see what they're starting to advocate, it is very, very dangerous. And at that point, my church said, we can no longer be affiliated with people. Thought was, this is where the Southern Baptist is. Now, we got a phone call once I put out a video and says, hey, we're out of here. We are not going to associate with this. I did get a call from the executive committee of the Southern Baptist who said, hold off. And in a phone conversation said, that is not what the Southern Baptist Convention beliefs.
Yeah, and I do want to hear a little bit more about that in a second, but let me reset because we're halfway through the show, and I didn't do a reset last week. Shame on me. I want to let anybody who, if you joined the show late, who are these voices talking to you? I'm Troy Skinner. This is the Frederick Faith Debate on 930 WFMD. Mm-hmm. My regular partner in crime, of course, Jonathan Schweitzer with Crossed Bridges, is here as well as typical. And the voice joining us by the phone is Pastor James. He is the senior pastor of New Hope Community Church in Palatine, Illinois. And he's telling us the story about how his church was ready to move on out of the Southern Baptist Convention. And we're going to hear more of those details in a second. By the way, you mentioned John Harris. John Harris was on this show. He was on for 4 weeks in a row, about a month and a half, 2 months ago, whatever. So if you go to the podcast, you want to hear what John Harris has to say. And you mentioned Southeastern. That's a reference to Southeastern Seminary, which is where John went to school. And that's when he started having his alarm bells go off. Like, what is going on around me? And then he bravely, really, well, I don't know how brave he was. I don't know how much he had to lose. The people who are brave are the ones who are putting themselves out there to have a lot to lose. So John's just this unknown guy, and he puts out this video on his YouTube channel saying, hey, this was my experience at Southeastern Seminary, and I just figured some people ought to know. And he's become like this huge, almost like revolutionary figure for the resistance to defend the biblical gospel kind of thing. It's really a fascinating, there could be a movie about his life one day, maybe, or at least a made-for-TV movie. So now John, I think, was itching to ask a question, so I don't want to jump in
too
much.
Well, yeah, you were just saying, for all of us, I think because of the George Floyd incident and then the rise of the language, and white fragility and systemic racism and Roadmap to Reconciliation, all these books that are at the heart of trying to define for the nation right now what is just or not just, having to do with the African-American community. And in that context, then kind of like all of a sudden, everybody's paying attention to what is this language. Even Trump has said that it can't be used in government. And so my question is, like, you're saying that critical race theory goes soft on sin. And then the second key was that it ends up being this sense that Jesus died for systems, not for individuals. And both of those have significant content for us to unpack. What do you mean by soft on sin? Like, how does critical race theory soften the biblical teaching on sin, in your view?
Now, I didn't mean to say that within critical race theory, it goes soft on sin, because critical race theory doesn't directly deal with sin in the first place, and that is the first problem. But I'm saying, if you embrace critical race theory, the thrust now is between oppressors and those who are oppressed, and so it becomes the dominant white culture, oppressing everyone else, and what gets lost in that is sin. So when you have someone asking questions about and by the way, the MLK was put on by the Gospel Coalition, right? That's what the organization that put that out. When you have someone who's talking to someone in a Gospel Coalition and they're asking questions about homosexuality, and the person interviewing the person who's part of the Gospel Coalition ask it for the fourth time, is homosexuality a sin? I was talking to a younger friend of mine, and I said, the mere fact that the guy who was interviewing is asking a fourth time means you weren't clear the first three times. That's why he's asking the fourth time. That video is actually up on our YouTube channel also. And so you start to become soft in that, because the thrust is no longer being saved from one's sin, being reconciled to God. J.D. Greer, which I actually played on the channel, said that God whispers about sexual sins. Really? He whispers about sexual sins? Sodom and Gomorrah would tend to disagree with you that he whispers about sexual sins. And so if the thrust is about oppressors and oppressed and all the other things that come with the critical race theory, then by default you would have to start going soft on sin, because sins are no longer the thrust. It's the system of oppressors.
So this is my question. about soft on sin that like I'm probably do this too much, but I try to hear the challenges to how I view things and to honestly consider the truth of those statements. Is it true that there are places in Scripture, one where it deals with oppressed and oppressor in clear biblical ways that we should, as churches, also be really clear about? And secondly, that there are places where the Bible deals with a corporate nature of sin, meaning like, I just read a book by a close friend of mine here in Frederick that runs a Christian business, and he's basically describing how a Christian business will run things differently. Its culture ends up being very different when it's rooted in grace and truth and rooted in integrity and, genuinely trying to serve, right? There's a whole different culture that is developed in a community like that. I've even Troy lead in some business environments where I felt like that was the as well. And so my question, on both of those is there some truth that we should be paying attention to that critical race theories are drawing our attention to in ways that we haven't effectively addressed in the past, that we've looked over and been somewhat blind to, maybe even?
And my answer to that would be no. What you see going on today is I don't see any pattern in the Bible. And here's the main thrust, whether you're coming from Daniel or whether you're coming from any other prophetic book in the Old Testament, is that the Jews, right, or the Israelites, depending on about, yeah, when they talk about corporate sin, they're confessing their corporate sin. Israel is confessing to the Lord their disobedience and how they transgress the law.
Yeah,
that's totally different than now you have one group of people trying to talk about the sins of another people group and trying to force another person group to confess their sins how they define it. That's apples and oranges. Does that make sense? And so it's not like blacks are saying, "Father, forgive us," because our group, our black communities, we've transgressed the law and we've turned away from you, Lord, forgive us. That's not what the black community is saying for those who are pushing critical race theory. What they are saying is, no, Lord, not us, the white culture. They've sinned. Lord, deal with their sin. And matter of fact, Lord, don't even deal with their sin. Let us deal with them, and they should. They should change their behavior to fit our concept of sin. And you know what's lost in all of that? There's not a call to obedience to the Lord. It's an effort to change the behavior of other cultures. And I would surmise, because of its Marxist underpinnings, there's no obedience to the Lord of the universe. It's now we're going to deal with systems, and we're going to deal with corporate sins. And how do you deal with the corporate sins? Change the system. You don't see that anywhere in Scripture.
Well, we're getting into the meat of the issues now. Time for the wrap-up of this show, so we'll pick up on next week's show. You've got that YouTube channel you mentioned. I didn't promote it for you last week. Shame on me. I should have.
That's okay.
But it's called For Such a Time as This, right? So if you go to YouTube.
Correct.
And you type in the search bar For Such a Time as This, they will find your YouTube channel, correct?
Yes, yes.
And you've got a Facebook page, I think, that goes by the same name, For Such a Time as This, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So if you're on Facebook, you can find James and what his ministry is all about on Facebook, yes, and on YouTube, and you can follow along there. You can find us on Facebook as well. WFMD has a Facebook page. I have a Facebook page. Feel free to follow and like and stuff. I'm also personally on Parler and on MeWe, so you can follow me there. If you follow me, I'll follow you. Jonathan Schweitzer, he's on Facebook. I don't know when. Right? You do social media?
Not nearly as much as you are.
Yeah,
so.
John's he's like a...
I pride myself on not being you.
You know what? If I were you, I'd say the same thing. Anyway, this is the Faith Debate. Till next week, 167 and a half hours from right now. God bless.